Greetings from Christ Community Church in Waseca. I welcome you to this video presentation for our Sunday, May 3rd worship. This is week number 7 since we have worshiped together in our church worship center. We hope to return to our in-person gathering sooner rather than later. In the meantime, we pray for the way that God is meeting our needs and helping us to stay connected through various means, including this worship video. We are thankful for continued generous support, generous giving that is continuing our ministry. I give you an assurance that we are receiving prayer requests on a daily basis, praying every day for those who are in need, praying every day for our church family. Also, through our Family Care Fund, we are meeting needs for people to help them pay their bills, to pay their rent, to help people who are in transition, providing food. Also, we are working with the Waseca schools, providing household items and personal items that they are distributing to the elderly and to others in need in our community. So again, thank you for your generous support, giving to the church's general fund and also giving to our Family Care Fund. We are so thankful for God's provision. You will be blessed today to hear a message on the theme of heaven from Pastor Chris Johnson. He was deeply touched as he did the video that you are about to see. I was deeply touched listening to him, the passion, the emotion, and during his presentation, I was led to the verse from Psalm chapter 17, verse 15 that says, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I will be satisfied, filled with your goodness, beholding your face." The psalmist gives us the picture and promise of coming face to face with God one day in heaven. And also I was reminded of the Gospel of John in chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. There Jesus, on the night he is betrayed, shares with his friends, saying, "Don't be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And Jesus goes on to say that he's going before his friends. He's going on before us to prepare a place. He says, "In my Father's home are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you." So I'm thankful for these Bible promises, and I'm thankful for today's message that brings such rich blessing, that inspires passion in our love for God and our love for God's Word. So again, thank you for tuning in to receive this important message. We're going to sing a couple songs of praise together, Jesus Messiah, and a new favorite called Free Amen. But first, hear from Pastor Rick. He has a greeting, an announcement, and then a powerful testimony from David Brooks will bring additional blessings. So we are thankful again for this opportunity to connect, and we pray God's blessings upon our church on this day of worship, and we pray God's anointing upon every listener and for the way our church family will be strengthened today, and that this message may reach beyond our church family to touch other lives. We give thanks in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, Church Online family. Pastor Rick here, and it's my privilege to welcome you to Church Online. I just wanted to give you an update of our student ministry and to share with you some ideas we have for a very special group of students. We never took a break. As soon as COVID hit, we just kept on going. 7 Wednesday nights since it first started. And we've been asking some questions. Questions like, did God cause or allow the coronavirus? We met over Easter week and we asked the question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And of course, we all know the answer to that one. We've also looked at questions like, if God knows everything, then why do I need to pray? We've also asked the question, if God knows I love him, then why do I need to have a quiet time? And this week, tonight, we just had our seventh night together, we answered the question, what's heaven like? And is hell real? You see, we never stopped encouraging and connecting with our students. So I just wanted you to know that we love your students. It's been very hard for us, for me, during this time. It's very hard to be on this side of a camera and wondering how your students are doing, how our students are doing. It's been really hard for me to shepherd from a distance. I know that they have great families, and it's been a privilege of mine to help make you as parents the primary disciple makers in your home. We want to continue to do that. We want to continue to give you skills and things that you can use to encourage and help disciple your children, your students. There's a special group of students that are near to my heart, and that is our graduating seniors. Maybe you haven't thought about our seniors, and we know that our students and our seniors have lost a lot. But I was reminded this week that maybe they haven't lost a lot nearly as much as they have overcome a lot. And God in his infinite wisdom, grace, and sovereignty has said that he knows that this generation, this group, can use what they have learned through this to be able to encourage them as they continue to live their lives and as they grow. And if they have overcome this, they can overcome just about anything. But what can we do for our graduating seniors? We're going to recognize them, and you're going to see through these online church services how we recognize some of our graduating seniors. But this is what I would like for us to do, for you to do, for you to come alongside these graduating seniors and adopt one. My email address is right here. Please send me an email that you are interested in adopting a senior. Well, what does adopting a senior look like? We live in a day and age of instant email and communication through digital technology. Snail mail is great. Send a note of encouragement, letting them know you're thinking about them. Maybe send them some cookies or something else. Or maybe it's a drive to their house and drop it on their doorstep, ring the doorbell, and dash. That is completely okay, and it is completely social distancing approved. Maybe there's some other things that we can encourage you to how to encourage and recognize and love on our seniors. Think about this. They have seen their friends and older siblings go through graduating ceremonies, open houses, getting ready for college, going shopping and buying all those things. We have no idea what the next few months are going to look like for our seniors. Will they have a ceremony? Will they have an open house? Will they prepare for college in the fall? Now is our time. God has placed us for such a time as this, and we can encourage and love on and build into our graduating seniors like never before. Will you join me? I'd love for you to be a part. Email me. I'd love to hear from you.
Good morning, Christ Community Church. I was thinking a couple of weeks ago what I could do to give back. And I was talking to Pastor Chris about it a couple of weeks ago, and we came up with the idea that I could probably give my testimony, you know, and tell the truth about what Christ has done in my life, especially during these times with this stay-at-home order that we have. I'll tell you just a little bit about what brought me to where I am now, and I consider it all a gift from God. I was born in a out of a family of 14, believe it or not. There's 14 including myself. Around the age of four, I lost three brothers in a fire, and I was the only survivor of that fire. My other brothers, my other siblings came later on after that. Fast forwarding a little bit, before I fully submitted myself or submerged myself into Christ, I found drugs and alcohol, which isn't really a norm in my family because neither my father nor my mother drank. And my mother owned two bars, but she wasn't a drinker. At this time in my life, I didn't realize that I was suffering from survivor's guilt, which caused a lot of depression and anxiety. So I developed PTSD, and which I didn't even know what PTSD was. And we didn't know much about therapists or psychiatrists then, but somehow, through all my trials and tribulations in life, I ended up finding Christ. My mom was a true believer in Christ. She eats, sleeps, and breathes Christ. And there's so many different versions of the Bible, but I like my mother's version of the Bible more than any other version because she actually lives the Bible. Before I came to Waseca, Minnesota, I lost my dad in September of 2019, which is probably my best friend. Decorated war veteran, fought in Vietnam. Losing him was probably one of the hardest grieving processes I had to go through. Somebody that I could turn to or call when the chips were down. And even though I never took much of his advice, the words that he always said resonated in my mind. You do the right thing and good things will happen to you. Well, I didn't always do the right things. 2019, I ended up in Safe Harbor, which is a dual diagnosis program that deals with mental illness and addiction. I sought addiction in people that use drugs and alcohol as a way to fit in, because I thought they cared about me. And I didn't realize how much I had someone already that truly cared about me, and that one is Christ. Ephesians 1:23. Him who fills everything in every way. After a couple of stints in prison, I learned that Christ was the only way out. So I took Christ to prison and brought him out with me. After leaving Safe Harbor, I ended up moving to Waseca. And then I realized that God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. He was putting all the right people in all the right places in my life in order for me to get to where he wanted me to be. And I remember being in a hospital in Owatonna, and this was probably the last time that I really felt like I was alone. And a voice spoke to me, and he said to me, I needed to show you where you were in order to get you where I want you to be. And I thought I was hearing things at first. So I laid back down on my bed, and lo and behold, I heard it again. He said, I needed to show you where you were in order to get you where I want you to be. You know, and it sort of scared me, and I was like, well, what does this all mean? And I ended up going to Safe Harbor once again, And once I got to Safe Harbor, I realized what was being said to me. And as I was in between groups at Safe Harbor, I was still struggling with trying to be in control of my own life. Which, if you know like I know, that I'm not in control of anything. I went to my room, and I sat on the bed, and I said, God, I surrender. I give it all to you. All of it. I need you to change me from the inside out. Just wash me clean. Give me a new slate. And from that day forward, I got exactly what I asked for. All the way up until this day right here. I got exactly what I asked for. I had no idea where I was going after I left the hospital. I sat down on my bed, and I opened my Bible, and I just happened to turn to Jeremiah 29:11-13, which I have it right here in the Bible. And he says, "For I surely know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart." And I knew right then that wherever God wanted me to be and wherever he would send me is where he wanted me to start my journey. And I ended up in Waseca, Minnesota. Of all places, I had no clue, never even heard of the name. And then I found Christ Community. The people here, you people, have opened your doors, your arms, and your hearts, and showed me that I have way more value than I have been given myself. I used to do a lot of negative self-talk. I don't do that anymore. If the sun ain't shining and I'm feeling depressed, it could be the weather. But now, I recognize that. It's not that I need to go use drugs. I need to go find a new gang to hang out with. No. It's I need to trust in him who fills everything in every way. And I'm so grateful today and thankful for the people, the place, and the things that God has put into my life. Thank you.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. For sinners.
Over the past 38 years, the Lord has given me the privilege of serving Him in numerous different countries. I've liked them all, but some of them I've grown to love. I've had the privilege of serving the Lord in Ghana 7 times now. So I've come to love the country of Ghana and to love the people there. They've become my dear friends. I look forward to going back. From 1989 to 1991, my wife Rhonda and I served the Lord as missionaries in Brazil. And I have nostalgia for Brazil to this day, and we're still in touch with some of our dear colleagues and friends from Brazil. And of course, not only do I love Ghana and Brazil, but I especially love America, the country of my birth. But as much as I love Ghana and Brazil and America, the country I love most is one toward which I am still on pilgrimage. In this country, the country I love most, there are neither tears nor heartaches. There are no pandemics in this country, No sickness, no illness, none at all. No germs or pestilence of any kind in this country, this better country that I love so much. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. No disabilities. No hatred. No sin. And no death. In this country, you don't have to worry about stock market crashes. Riches can never be lost. In the country I love most, nobody is homeless because everybody is home. I've read that the people in this country never get tired, and they carry no burdens, and they never grow old. No one there says goodbye. The word goodbye is not even in the vocabulary of this country, for there are no separations, no farewells. It's a place where friends really are friends forever. It's a country abounding in light and love and life and joy and peace and profound happiness. In this country, it's always Christmas and never winter. Now you can understand why this country is the country I love most. Lots of people I've known and loved have gone there. Both my mom and dad are there. My wife Rhonda's mom went there just recently. My brother's there. But they've never come back here. Maybe they don't want to. But the prince of this country, who was there from the beginning, left there to visit us, to show us the way there. In fact, he himself is the way. His name is Jesus. And if we follow him, he will lead us to his native country. He himself has gone back there already, and he left a note saying that he was going back there to prepare a place for his followers. And ever since I read his note, I've been longing to go to the place he's preparing for those who know and love him. How I long, I really do, I long for this better country. I long to arrive in this better country, the country I love most. Now, there is a sense in which the not yet can become the right now. In other words, there is a sense in which we followers of Jesus are already there in this country. Oh, not physically, but spiritually already there. True, our feet are planted on this earthly soil, but spiritually, we've already have come to this better country. We learned that in Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 22 through 24. If you have a Bible handy, turn to your Bible or turn on your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. I'll be using the New International Version. Let's see what the scripture says. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You have come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Yes, in a spiritual sense, the scripture says, we've already come to this better country. In verse 22, we see, first of all, that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. When the people of Israel came out of Egypt, they entered the wilderness and came to Mount Sinai, where they received God's law. And now we too have entered into a kind of wilderness. A wilderness of disease, disruption, distress, disorientation. A desert in many ways. But we have come not to an earthly Mount Sinai to receive law, but to a heavenly Mount Zion to receive grace. What a better mountain home! For heavenly Mount Zion is the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem. The last two chapters of the Bible describe this city of God. It's about 1,400 miles long, longer than the distance between Minneapolis and New Orleans, and it's just as wide, and it's just as high. 1,400 miles long and wide and high, just this one city. And the foundations, oh, you got to see them. The foundations of the city of God are decorated with precious stones like emeralds and sapphires. Oh, what a city. What an awesome, awesome city. And then there's Main Street. Main Street is paved with pure gold, yet it's transparent, like glass. Transparent, pure gold. You got to see it to believe it. And the city is always bathed in light. The lights never go off there. Not sunlight, nor moonlight, but the light of the glory of God. Then there's a crystal clear river that flows down from the Lord's throne down the middle of Main Street. It's the river of life. And on each side of this river of life is the tree of life. And it yields its fruit every single month. And its leaves are for the healing of the nations. And everyone everyone who lives there sees God face to face. Wow. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the city of the living God. This is the heavenly Mount Zion, our better mountain home, our better country, the country I love most. The scripture in Hebrews 12 says that we've also come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. In this season of privation and social distancing and stay at home, it's awfully hard to sing the songs of Zion in isolation. But we've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. We join a heavenly worship service already underway. Thousands upon thousands of angels who never tire of singing heaven's repertoire. Holy, 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 and worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and all the hallelujahs of heaven. And even in isolation, we join that heavenly worship service already underway. For we've come to myriads and myriads of angels who sang for joy when we were first found, and who join us in praise to God now and forever. And then as we move through Hebrews 12 into verse 23, we learn that we have come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. As people right now fret over our faltering economy, it's hard for us to remember how rich we are. But we who follow Jesus are rich, for we have come to the church of the firstborn. Now, in ancient Israel, the firstborn received a double portion of the inheritance. And so, having come to the church of the firstborn, who receives a magnificent inheritance, we followers of Jesus are heirs of God, heirs of God, and co-heirs of Christ. And our names are officially recorded in heaven's book of life. Oh, how wealthy we are. Let's not forget. And then we've come to God. God himself, the judge of all. We stand respectfully in the courtroom. The courtroom of the judge of heaven and earth. The devil, our accuser, who accuses us before God day and night, argues his case against us. He details our criminal record, all our sin, all our guilt, all our shame. Mixes in a number of lies in his accusations as well. Then, Jesus Christ, our defense attorney, argues our case. And as evidence, he presents the piercings of his hands and feet. He presents the wound in his side. For on the cross, he has paid the full penalty for all our sin and guilt and shame. And by faith, our sin has been imputed to Christ, and Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us. And since there is no double jeopardy in God's courtroom, the judge pronounces us not guilty. Hallelujah. And so, as we come to God, the judge of all, we receive with gratitude the mercy of the court. Praise Jesus. And then, we've come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. These are God's people from Old Testament times onward. They are made perfect in that their salvation is now complete. They've been saved from the very presence of sin, for they are in heaven. And so we have come to Abraham and Sarah and Moses. We've come to Elijah and Esther. We've come to Peter, Paul, and Priscilla, and myriads more, the spirits of the righteous made perfect, a great cloud of witnesses who witness to us of what living by faith is all about, and who encourage us to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, as if it were not enough to come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, as if it were not enough to come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, as if it were not enough to come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, as if it were not enough to come to God, the judge of all the all earth, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, the scripture now lifts our heads to fix our eyes on the one who makes it all possible. We have come to Jesus. We have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. At Mount Sinai, the old covenant of law was ratified by blood of sacrificed animals sprinkled upon the Israelites. And so, from the heavenly Mount Zion, the new covenant of grace is ratified by the blood of Jesus, shed on the cross and sprinkled upon his people. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. For the blood of Abel spoke a word of punishment upon his brother who murdered him. But the blood of Jesus speaks a word of mercy upon us who follow him. Yes, indeed, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. And the shed blood of Jesus is the reason why we are able to come to Mount Zion, to the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. How do we get there? By putting our faith in Jesus. By following Jesus. It is Jesus who knows the way there, because it is only Jesus who is the way. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved. Make sure you've put your faith in Jesus. Follow Jesus, and his grace will lead you home. May we fix our eyes on Jesus. May we follow him all the way to our better mountain home, to our beloved, better country. For the sufferings of this present time here are not worthy to be compared to the glories that shall be revealed in us there. Amen. Praise Jesus.